IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners. Thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. In the studio with me, I have the honor of being joined by my brothers, Brother Habib and Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum, gentlemen.
Wa alaikum
assalam wa rahmatullah.
So there's, because the events of Ashura and the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, note the word, the fact that I chose the word movement, not anything else.
Thank you very much.
The movement of Imam al-Hussein and the event of Karbala, it's so multifaceted and it's so dynamic and it's so full of life, like 1400 years later, and people are still deriving so many messages and are developing deeper understandings of the things that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam did. I feel like because of that, there's still a lot of concepts therein that we need to clarify, right? All right, so there's two questions that I have here. Number one, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam rose to establish justice, right? Mm-hmm. That's understandable because it was his responsibility as divine leader, right? To establish justice. And the question, however, I have is that he set off, he got killed. What justice was established?
Mm-hmm.
What rights did he gain for anyone, anywhere? I mean, even after
can I
that,
to a question and
the Ahl al-Bayt were under even more pressure.
Yeah. Medina was attacked by Yazid.
Exactly,
after the death
and
of
the Kaaba was burned down.
The Kaaba was burned down. People still, they're saying that's available. وَمَا وَرْتَدَّ النَّاسِ عَنْ الدِّينِ إِلَّا ثَلَاثَ بَعْدَ مَقْتَلِ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And then they state the three companions of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. So where was the justice?
By killing a person and thinking that you have put up everything and you have actually closed it down and nothing comes up. So it's wrong understanding.
Are you saying that it had long-term effects?
So this blood, actually, this is the blood that is flourishing, that it comes up, and actually this gives life to the Islamic Ummah.
Through generations.
Yeah. What is Yazid now and what is Hussein? What is the status of Yazid in Islamic Ummah? So, let me tell you some quotes from Islamic scholars about Yazid.
Before that, can I just bring up this quote of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam that pretty much answers your question? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, when he entered Medina after Karbala, people were sending their condolences and telling him, Azam Allah ajrak, and they were praying for him, trying to
console him.
Yeah, console him and whatnot. A man came who was happy with what happened to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, who said, who won? He asked him, who won? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam replied, when the adhan comes up, you will know who won. This is a very deep statement. And of course, I don't say it's the reason of Muwatta of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, but I say that it's one of the benefits that happened because of the killing of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that the religion remained, that Yazid has no power to do with Muawiyah what Muawiyah did, that propaganda that Muawiyah had, which was pretty much to wear the dress of Islam and state that we are Islam, we are the representative of Islam. Yazid has no power to do that anymore because of the movement of Imam
Hussein. By killing Imam al-Hussein, Yazid dug his own grave.
Yeah, look, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in his book Al-Sawa'iq. He narrates from Imam Ahmad Hanbal, that is the leader of the Hanbalis.
Yes.
That when he was asked, are we allowed to curse Yazid? He said, whom should we curse if we do not curse Yazid? Imam of Hanabala, right? Allama taftazani Hanafi. Again, in his book, Sharh al-Aqa'id.
Sharh al-Maqasid or Sharh al-Aqa'id?
Sharh al-Aqa'id. He says that, when Yazid killed the family and the household of the Prophet and actually insulted them, and it is frequently narrated about the news and the akhbar that happened there, And we all agree about his disbelief.
His kufr.
His blatant blasphemy.
Let me not talk about Imam Shawkani. Let me not say what, let's say, Ibn Khaldun said. Let me not tell you what Ibn Jawzi al-Hanbali said. So this is the Yazid in today's life and Hussein.
So just long-term effects. We're talking about long-term effects.
No, even in the short term. Even in the short term, right. Look, those who missed the time and did not accompany Hussein and stood in front of him, exactly a minute after his martyrdom, started their grief and their sorrow.
The people of Kufa
not only
from Shias of Iraq, different groups of Islamic Ummah at that time. Mm-hmm. Right after the martyrdom of Hussein, they understood what a big mistake they did.
Inside of Sham, when Imam Zain al-Abidin,
that's why one of the lessons that we take from the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, we have to understand what time we are in. We have to learn about the moments. Mm-hmm. Look, these moments are very critical. Sometimes it's very short and we have to make a big decision. Mm. So this is the lesson that we have to take. Where are we now standing? Are we with Hussein of the time or in front of Hussein of the time? Mm. So this is what we have to learn.
There are a couple of things that can I add, please? I want to just add two things. My brother beautifully put it out there that if we believe that the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam was a revolt, a revolution, to bring up justice, and...
But you don't
that
believe
the base,
that, though. You don't
I'll
like calling
it,
right
now.
An uprising.
That the concept of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the basis of the takfiris is not the same as the base of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The true divine bases that are available. Yani even the Shias, when they come to talk about the factor of rising, all of them agree that there has to be the idhn, the permission of the imam or na'ibi, the authority after the imam. And anyhow, there's also a different answer to what the brother stated that's also available out there. And I always like to introduce it. It's very important for me, I feel, that the fact that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who said that he was revolting?
Hmm. And you really, always press on that.
Yes, and the fact is that the only thing that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did was not do bay'ah to Yazid. Abdullah ibn Zubayr also didn't do bay'ah to Yazid.
Yes, dear Sheikh, look, this is true.
Can
I agree with you, but look, just a moment, yes. In parentheses. Look, these men are showing a disagreement by revolt, by uprising, by whatever you want to call it.
It was a rebellion.
There's this thing in the middle. There's this gray area.
We are not fighting on the terms and the words.
There's this gray area of staying quiet. Mm-hmm. The thing that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam did. Mm-hmm. The thing that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam did. The thing that Imam al-Askar alayhi salam did. This staying quiet. I'm not against you. I'm not with you. I'm not doing anything. Just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. This concept of just leave me alone. So there are three choices that the Imam alayhi salam had: fight against him, agree with him, or sit down. Fight against him, you need an army. The people of Kufa, Imam Hussein, it's a long topic, I know, but in summary, simple people knew that Kufa was against, were betrayers. Mm-hmm. From the time of Amir Mu'min to Imam Hassan. So how about Imam Hussein with his wisdom? Even if we take them like an ordinary smart person. Mm. There's this, I don't have the right army, I don't have the right people. Well, at least when I reached to Kufa, before Kufa, there was no chance of going back. Mm. The way that he, and agreeing with Yazid is against Islam, because if I agree with Yazid now, Islam would demolish. So there's this concept of staying quiet, like how Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam did with the bay'ah of As-Saqifah. And we can Allah yuhibbu al-Muhsinin, it would have went through. But Yazid, no, wanted the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He wanted to kill him. Send me with this message, this reply to Walid ibn Aqma, with this message, the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein exited Medina. When he exited Medina, he went to Mecca, the safest place on earth. In the safest place of earth, Yazid sent Al-Asraj, who was put in place of Walid ibn Aqba, to Mecca to kill Imam Hussein alayhi salam, to assassinate him, even if he was mutaalliq bi astar al-Kaaba. So he left Mecca.
What does that mean?
If he was attached to the Kaaba. He was seeking refuge to the Kaaba. Even if he was in that status, they wanted to kill him. Mm-hmm. So he left because he was afraid, he was going to get killed. And he doesn't want to get killed. Look at his words. He says, "An uqtul shubran an Mecca." To be killed, one... Shubr. What is shubr?
A few inches away.
A few inches off Mecca is better than to be killed in Mecca. "Inni akhaf an akuna al-kabsha alladhi qala anhu Rasulullah." Rasulullah was talking about Abdullah ibn Zubayr. "I am afraid to be the cattle that will be slaughtered inside of Mecca." Mm-hmm. And therefore, when he went to Kufa, it was the safe place for him. Mm-hmm. Basra, people were against him because of the war of Basra. They were against his house. He wanted to go to Yemen. It was far off. Mm-hmm. The best place to go was Kufa. Why? Because people were calling that, "We will defend you. We will help you. We are calling for you. We are against Yazid."
Yeah.
So it was a place to be, to defend at least.
And then
the betrayal happened with Muslim ibn Aqil. He rushed to... Wadi al-Aqiq, if I'm not wrong, or al-Tan'im, I forgot the place. the army of Hurkaym, they wanted to take him as a prisoner. He told them, let me go.
Let me go back.
Let me go back. Let me go Yemen. Let me go Hind. They said, no. You will come under the government of...
So basically, Imam al-Hussein was minding his own business.
Yes.
Yazid kept pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yes.
Yazid was either, he was like, either pledge your allegiance to me or I'm going to kill you.
Yes.
And Imam al-Hussein tried to avoid it and avoid it and avoid it. And he was like, let me go to Kufa. They're calling for me. He went. They stopped him anyway. And they were still like... We're going to kill you.
Yeah, and then they took him to Karbala.
Where do you want to go?
And then he reaches Karbala. Again, another thing to also keep in mind to consider. The Imam alayhi salam, when they say cry, does this crying have a mawdu'iyya, that it's by itself a subject or that is recommended?
Mm.
Or like how, for example, Sayyid Musa al-Sadr states that Imam Hussein alayhi salam or the Ahl Bayt do not care about the crying part. The crying part is a path for you to do this and that and this and that and to wake up and to understand. And they call it the teachings of Karbala. Mm. There's a big difference between the two.
Mm. The respected Sheikh, Brother Habib, says that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did not make an uprising or a revolution, whatever we can call it, what we mean by the word inqilab. I want to say no, it was really an uprising against the tyrant regime of the time. So there are lots of evidences that helps us to see what was the goal and the objective of Imam from this movement. Let's study Imam from the very beginning. Imam, what does he say in his words? He says that I have left to make reforms in the Ummah of the Holy Prophet, in the nation of my grandfather, the Holy Prophet, and to do Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar, to actually ask people to perform, to enjoy the good and refrain from the evil. So let's talk about these two phrases that Imam alayhi salam himself said. So to follow exactly what happened at that time, which was against the nation, against the sunnah of the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it means that there was a great distortion. Second, Imam says, Amrun bin Ma'ruf, enjoining the good. As for Amrun bin Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, it is quite famous that they have three stages. The first stage of Amrun bin Ma'ruf, that is enjoining the good, is the stage of doing it by heart. Second stage is to perform and do it by tongue. The third stage is the practical level of Amr bin Ma'ruf. The same goes for Amr Nahi Anil Munkar. So what is the greatest Amr in an Islamic Ummah? Establishment or Iqamah, whatever we have titled it, whatever we have named it as Iqamah of Hukumatul Adl. What has been defined as the mission of all the prophets, all the divine prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the scene of the earth. So all of them have come, based on what Allah says in Quran, to establish iqamah, or to do and to create a just government. So this is the highest level of amr, the practical way of it. So Imam, as the leader of the Islamic Ummah, has had to do something for that. Again, let's see the opposite side. What is the highest level of munkar? The highest level of munkar, the evil, as the tyrant government, the distorted government of the time. So it's the duty of Imam and the leaders of the Islamic Ummah, or even the followers, to perform all those three stages. So Imam, even at the time of Muawiyah, he showed his hatred of the governing system of Muawiyah by sending him some letters. You might say that, okay, why Imam was silent at that time? No, Imam was not even silent at that time. He sent the letters. He warned him with the mistakes that he had in his rulership and government. He told him this, these points are the points that you have deviated from the true and genuine Muhammadan Islam. And again, he showed his hatred. Second, he wrote a letter. But what happened to the functional action, to functional level of it? So it was due to the duty of Imam, because Imam is not a person who breaks the treaties. Imam, through the treaties that actually was written and signed between Muawiyah and Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he was still under the treaty. So he could not actually emerge and get out of that treaty. So you might say, okay, Muawiyah before that, somewhere in the masjid said, okay, I'm not following this treaty anymore. Yes, but Muawiyah used politics to say that. He came and said that, he said that, okay, there are some other commitments which are not in this treaty, and I'm leaving those treaties. I'm leaving them out. So it means that politically he was going to actually fool people that, okay, this is, I'm not directly actually breaking the treaty. So it was, in case Imam wanted to break the treaty, he was known as the person who actually broke the promise that was given earlier. So Imam did everything. I mean, Imam did all the levels and stages of Amr bin Ma'ruf. When it comes to the An-Nahi Anil Munkar, so the highest level of Munkar, as I said, is the government of deviation, the government of distortion, the government of Yazid. That Imam said, a person like me is never ever allowed to actually pay allegiance with a person like Yazid. Everyone knew who Yazid was at that time. So Imam actually wanted to do so. At this time, he's not under any treaty anymore. So he leaves Medina, he goes towards Mecca. Because Yazid sent Walid ibn Utbah to take allegiance from Imam Ali Islam in Medina. But Imam left Medina in order to not respond him, not to reply him, and leaves for a city that he can find a media for himself. Yes, in Mecca there is a place that Hajjaj and the Hajjis come every year. And at that time, at that place, he could even send the message of Islam and the message of true Muhammad Islam to the Hajjaj from different nations. Again, Yazid sent a group, a troop, to kill Imam in Mecca. So what was Imam's actually innovation here? Imam doesn't want the land of security, Madinatul Amn of Mecca, to be changed into a Medina of actually shedding the blood of the people. So what does Imam do? Imam says that I don't want my blood to be covered in the land of Mecca. He looks for another way. At this time, we have seen that letters are flooding from Kufa, that Muslims from Kufa invite him to come and actually take the leadership. Okay, Imam, as the leader of the Islamic Ummah, what is his duty? Is to answer the letters, to reply to the letters. When it is the duty of him, even though he knew what would be the outcome and consequence of that, Imam replies to the letter and he sends Muslim ibn Aqil to Kufa. Okay, then what happens? The brother said that, okay, even Imam in the middle of the way said, okay, you are not going to accept me anymore, I'll go back. No, brother, it's not true. Imam, even at the beginning of the way, he understood that Muslim was got martyred. So in case at that time, even Imam could live, could go back to another city or to Medina or to anywhere else. No, Imam knew purposely. Imam knew that he had started a reform movement, what we call it, a revolution, an uprising against the tyrant ruler of the time. So he continues to go. Yes. When Imam says such a thing, based on what the brother says, it's due to the duty of a Muslim, a leader of the Ummah, that he never starts a war, what we call it, primitive war, or Jihad al-Ibtida'i. So Imam does not, like the Holy Prophet, does not want to start any war. But at the time that defense becomes compulsory, no, Imam is not someone who leaves the battlefield. He stands in the battlefield till he is martyred. So this is the philosophy behind the story of Ashura and Karbala.
This will also open the doors for you to make assumptions about Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, especially those who claim, like Sayyid al-Khubba.
I'm so very glad.
From his explanation, I can make it also a good conclusion that even while the Majai in Iraq says that, okay, stay at home, then do not
that's why
make
the
chaos. But this is very good to know that religion and states are interrelated.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Religion and states.
Yes,
I mean, Dina Siyasa, they are not disrelated.
We had Madina al Hub, now we're saying Madina Siyasa.
This is a really rational point that we are, I mean, after 40 years in Islamic Republic, we are saying and want to tell the Islamic Ummah, religion is intermingled with the states. And
it
we
is.
Have to know
it
that
is.
The Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the same time that he was an Islamic leader, at the same time he was a political leader of the Medina. And he was the leader,
yes.
And let's say, whatever we can call it, in Medina. He was the person who made this city-state in Arabian Peninsula.
When you look at the Islamic laws, there cannot be religion with a state without religion.
Very true.
Al-Hudud, the capital punishments, the diyas, al-Hakim al-Shar'i, Bayt al-Mal, if we accept that there's this.
Inheritance.
Not only that, Imam Salat al-Jum'ah, al-Qadhi, the judges.
Right.
All of these have to do with religion, path of life. Religion is inseparable from
I'm very glad that we opened this door, because finally Brother Habib got to defend his stance. And we all came to this conclusion that we were saying the same thing from the very beginning. We always
do that.
There's
a difference to it. There's a difference
to it. But there are key points that everyone stresses on when in expressing their opinions. And I like that. I respect that too, because it brings us to such a deeper understanding of Ashura, and that's the point of such discussions. Inshallah ta'ala, if there are any other points that you guys want to continue, we can pick it up in further episodes of this show. Thank you so very much for being with us. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahumma ja'al mahya ya mahya Muhammad wa ala Muhammad ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد
Oh, Hussein, you live forever in our hearts and in our minds
Oh, Hussein, you live forever
Swear to Allah, you have shown us so much courage through the pain. You sacrificed your family and were killed thirsty for Hussein.